You're listening to a podcast hosted by Med Learning Group.
Welcome to our last of three podcasts on melanoma hosted by Med Learning Group, titled A Patient's Viewpoint in the Diagnosis and Treatment of Advanced Melanoma, podcast number three. This series will be designed to meet the educational needs of community-based and academic oncologists, dermatologists, nurse practitioners, oncology pharmacists, and physician assistants who manage patients with melanoma. My name is Gregory, and I'll be the host of today's podcast. In this episode, our focus is to highlight the patient voice for healthcare professionals who care for patients with advanced melanoma. Joining me today is Mindy Helmendahler-Armatus. Welcome, Mindy.
Thank you. It's so great to be here.
Can you start by telling us your story? What age were you when you first were diagnosed with melanoma? And did you have any specific symptoms that alerted you to your condition?
Yeah, absolutely. I was diagnosed when I was 23, so I was still in college. I went to Utah for Christmas, a Christmas break, and I noticed that I had a mole on my chest that was bleeding and it was dry. However, I just attributed those factors to where I was visiting, since it's a lot more dry than over in Oregon. And so I decided, though, to go and see a dermatologist once I went back to school. And the first dermatologist that I saw had a wait and see approach. And so something I wish I could go back to at that age is what was going through my head at that point, because I didn't feel good about that diagnosis. And so I actually went and saw another doctor for a second opinion, and she biopsied it. And it turned out that it had already been stage three. And so I'm so glad that I listened to my gut feeling and went to that second opinion to be able to get that diagnosis, since it was already stage three.
Yes, indeed. And what treatments did you start to address the melanoma?
So it was the year 2010, and actually there were a lot of very limited options. So there wasn't much available out there. Surgery was one of the only options. And at that point it was to remove my lymph nodes, since it had spread to the lymph nodes already down my left arm. And then I was just scanned. And after the 5 years, that was the magic timeline that I graduated from the Cancer Institute. And I no longer had scans. I just saw my dermatologist every year.
And when did your cancer return? What alerted you to the cancer this time around?
Yeah, so I started to develop about, I'd say, 2 years after I stopped scanning. I started to develop vitiligo on my back, as well as I had eyelashes and eyebrows that turned white, and I developed a cough. And so I saw a whole bunch of doctors over the course of about 7 months, and I had the cough syrups in my medicine cabinet to show how many doctors I went to try and get rid of the cough. However, when I saw my dermatologist, she listened to my symptoms and said that I needed a scan. And at that point, I'm so glad and grateful for that follow-up, because it had actually, my original melanoma had metastasized to my lung. And so at that point I had surgery to remove the lower part of my lung.
Before we talk about treatments, can you tell us why you stopped the preventative scans?
Yeah, so there isn't a whole lot of research that says when you should stop scanning. And so they say about after 5 years from your first diagnosis. It's just due to that nature of the exposure of radiation. And I'm also at a younger age. And so if I continue to get those scans, it's just that exposure. And there also is not, like I had mentioned, there wasn't much research at that point. There still isn't a whole lot on how long you should be scanned. And so when I was first diagnosed, it was just scan for 5 years and then stop. Now it's after 5 years, then you go to yearly scans instead of just stop altogether. So it has changed in that from the 2010 mark.
Okay, so back to your diagnosis of stage four melanoma, what were the treatments offered to you, and how did they suit you?
Yeah, so at this point, since it was now 8 years later, there were so many options, more than I could ever dream of. And they had first tested right away from my surgery for a BRAF mutation, which I find myself in some ways lucky for that because there were even more treatment options available. And so unlike the first time, I was told do not go on the internet right from the start. This time I could go on the internet and they encouraged you to go to, of course, reputable websites to learn and do my own research as well. I started out with immunotherapy, which actually boosts your immune system. And I was able to also be able to maintain a good quality life. Unfortunately, I had another tumor that metastasized down to my leg. And so that one, instead of having surgery, they actually tried a targeted therapy. And within 2 weeks, it had taken care of the tumor. It had shrunk it and it was gone. And so now, because of high liver levels from those two medications in those 2 weeks, I had to stop that treatment. But currently I'm on ones that have now been working for years. I mean, I'm going on 4 years on those. And so I take 12 pills a day with minimal side effects. I had more at first. However, they've pretty well subsided. I get them right delivered to my door, which I feel so incredibly lucky and fortunate because I know that is not the case for everyone. But that's why I'm here today, to also help advocate, because that should be the case. We have enough to worry about as a patient. And just having that medication taken care of for us is just a huge help.
You had to switch therapies. That must have been so challenging. And I noticed that you switched from immunotherapy to combination targeted therapy. And then, just as an aside, there are now several immunotherapy combinations that are in clinical trials. More recently, the new combination of fianlimab and cemiplimab have shown promising results for the treatment of advanced melanoma. Have you heard of combination immunotherapy?
Yeah, I actually do try and stay up with current research, because even though my current medications are working for me, I do know there may be a point in time when I do have to look at other options. And if I can be that much more ahead and informed on the curve, and there's also so many options because of COVID with virtual symposiums that I can now attend and be right there learning alongside with doctors and researchers. And so there's so many more options too to stay up on current research.
I couldn't agree with you more. Okay, talk to us about your multidisciplinary team.
Yeah, so I actually, once again, I'm very fortunate because my dermatologist works with my oncologist, who works with my surgeon, and they're all a part of a team to figure out the best treatment path for me. And they also include me in that. So they don't just tell me what they want me to do. They also ask me, how do I feel about that? And are there any other options that I would like to explore as well? They take all of those things into consideration. And they also look at, what type of life am I leading and do I want to lead? And so taking that quality of life into aspect and what I want as a patient is also so important. And I feel so incredibly grateful for that team.
Yes, having a team like that behind you really can motivate you. And I see and I can tell how positive of a person you are and how empowering to be involved in your own treatment choices. How do you remain so positive?
So I guess I'm generally a positive person anyways. However, I do have a huge support system. I have friends and family and, you know, colleagues who are there for me. And it goes both ways, because I know that my battle is also their battle. And so to know that we're all in this together, and this is an unfortunate thing that has happened. However, I am doing what I can to also make this better for someone else in the way of prevention. And so I do a lot of the advocacy work and the outreach to help also inform people, because I didn't know when I was tanning at age 15, 16 of the results that would, where it would have led me only a few years later. At that time, I thought that, unfortunately, skin cancer was only for older people. And so I learned very quickly that is not the case. It can happen to anyone.
So you've learned, as we can see, quite a bit through your experience. What are some key tips you would give to somebody newly diagnosed with melanoma?
Yeah, absolutely. An important question too. I want people to know that there are multiple opinions and options. It's okay to get a second opinion, a third opinion, and doctors should be encouraging you to do so. And you should be listening to that gut instinct. You know what's best for your body because you know it best. I also think there's a lot of reputable sites out there that compile the information to start reading about your condition and treatment and to ask questions. There are people who can get you answers. And if you don't feel good about an answer, once again, it's okay to keep reaching out to others. I think the patient advocacy is what I have continued to talk about because I know that through this, I can make a difference for someone else and hopefully prevent someone else from having melanoma because it is one of the most preventable cancers.
Mindy, it really is so special hearing your story, and we really appreciate you sharing your journey about your advanced melanoma diagnosis and ultimately your battle. And we really do appreciate it. Thank you so much. And we thank our listeners for joining us as well. This podcast was brought to you by MedLearning Group. MedLearning Group is accredited by the Accreditation Council for Continuing Medical Education to provide continuing medical education for physicians. The CME activity was planned and produced in accordance with the ACCME Essentials. And I would like to give a special thank you to our grant supporter, Regeneron Pharmaceuticals Incorporated, who provided an unrestricted grant for this educational activity.